Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow, hopefully. Chase, just let you know we're still thinking about you, man. Hang in there. Elijah Campbell has been manning things at our game studio board, and so we should be heading over to West End in just a moment to talk with Clark Lee as Vanderbilt will be hosting Georgia this week. We'll have Mitch Light following the head coach. And Georgia, boy, we talked about it with Paul Feinbaum. Willie, their defense, this just in, it is really,
really
freaking good.
Scary good, and that is going to – what a bar that is set, you know, for Vanderbilt and where they're trying to get and where they're coming from. Winless last year. I saw their game against Stanford. It was a – you know, there were some things that were encouraging there. And then, of course, they had a rough last minute 53 where they just pretty much gave the game away. And to their credit, they kept battling in the second half. The worst news coming out of that game is Raymond Davis, a good, solid tailback who we were asking Coach Lee about last week. Mm-hmm. He was having some really good success in that first half, and he hurt himself, and he is now out for the season. Just tough. You know, a transfer coming in, he's got a great opportunity, and now his season is over. Hopefully he will be able to come back. I don't know what the rules are. Only three games. I don't know how much eligibility he has, but I like the way he carries himself too. He was becoming kind of a team spokesman. If you go to the stadium, he's on a lot of the video boards. I like how he delivers things, team guy. So that's a tough blow at a position where they're not really deep. Now, the other kid, Rocco, he had some great runs too. So he's got a huge opportunity now. So we'll see how much of the workload that he can shoulder.
Yeah.
But now you just got to survive this game against Georgia. And then you've got UConn the following week. And then you've got a lot of these teams like Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee. Can you stack up against those teams? But these are all questions for down the road. But we've got Coach Lee on the line, so Darren, get it going.
All right, yeah, let's head over to West End. Let's bring in Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. He is indeed on the line with us. Coach, thanks for joining us as always. You know, brought up after week one, the coaches always say, we know we've talked to enough of them over the years, that they learn the most about their team from weeks one to two. Well, we know what you learned about your team from week one to week two. So now I'm going to ask you, what have you learned about your team now that you're through three games?
Well, I think we have a good team when we play complementary football and when we play to our identity. And I think part of that identity is you know, being ready to play, you know, being ready before we begin. So being able to start fast, it's sustaining through the middle, and it's finishing strong. And I just don't want to sound like I'm just throwing out cliches to you, but I feel like in the East Tennessee State game, we weren't ready for the competitive moment. We wanted them to cooperate with us and felt like we were entitled to an outcome because of our work. And Colorado State game, you know, we were able to string together a really strong middle eight and finish the right way, but we didn't start fast. Stanford, you know, obviously defensively we started slow, but offensively we found some rhythm there early, and then weren't able to play complementary football right before the half, and we got into a 13-point hole. And I thought that, you know, we were competitive through the finish, but never quite rediscovered that rhythm that we had early. And so, you know, we have a good team, but we have a team that's still in the infancy of a change in program. And so finding consistency, finding the toughness required to sustain, you know, output and performance over four quarters will be critical for us reaching our potential as a team.
Yeah, I thought you hit on some really key points there. That's exactly where I was going next. Thought your defense certainly had their struggles in the first half, but I loved the counterpunch. Every time Stanford would score, you guys would have the nice counterpunch, and I thought it was a nice back-and-forth affair in the first half Unfortunately, right before the half, I thought those final 2 minutes were didn't go your way. There was some key moments that really dictated and changed the complexion of the game, in my opinion. So when you were in that spot and you go into the half because of that, with that being said, what did you tell your team to get them ready for the second half because of that, the way it finished?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think even in the phrase, like, things didn't go our way, I mean, I want this team to understand the level of control we do have over our performance. We don't control the outcome. But listen, when you make a goal line stop at the 2, you turn around and you go, I think, like, over 7 minutes and 98 yards and puncture with a touchdown to tie it, your kickoff team takes the field with a point to prove. And that is a moment that, you know, we have to seize. And we have to, first of all, do the little things right. Let's be on sides. And second of all, you know, we need to cover that kick. We need to tackle it inside the 20. We need to be celebrating in the end zone. And we need to grab the momentum of the game and just pull it into our favor. What an unbelievable missed opportunity. And that was the starting point. I think at the end of that sequence, they started around midfield and they finished with a field goal. And so even then, you know, we go back on offense, and in my mind, it's like, here comes a 2-minute drive to score. This is like 2-minute half against Colorado State. Let's go. And, you know, we go 2nd and 8, drop a slant that puts us in 3rd and 8. We throw an interception, and we made a bad decision with the football. And so that there's a touchdown. And then we come back out on offense and we're trying to bleed the clock, and Stanford smartly forces us to punt and we don't cover it. And there's another penalty in that one too. And all that to say is, like, listen, there is so much in the outcome that we don't control, but my goodness, as a team, we have to grab that moment and seize it and turn the tides in our favor there. And so at halftime, it was just the recognition of, look, that didn't go how we wanted at the end. There's a lot to build on positive from that first half. Let's take it into the second half and go play the level of football that we know we can play. We start the second half with a counter play that is one block away from being a gasher. And again, being one block away is a formula for losing. We have to find that play. We have to make that block and spring the run so that we can get right back into the rhythm that we had in the first half. And so I know that I'm being long-winded with it, but ultimately these are the experiences that expose to our team and to our program what it takes to win at a high level, how we have to play to put away a good opponent. And there should be evidence there to all of us that we're capable of it. Now let's seize control over the things that we have control over. And let's find out how good we can be.
I'll tell you this, Coach, when Ramon Davis in the first half had that spin move on that run, I about came out of my shoes. I mean, that was an incredible run. Then you get the tough news because he was banged up. He came back, and then you get the tough news that he's lost for the season. How does that affect what you guys do moving forward?
Well, let me start by saying that spin move was on a counter play, and it's the same play that we had designed in the second half, and it goes to show when we make the blocks, we have the holes. And now Ray has a special ability at the third level there to make the safeties miss. I've got so much respect for Ray. I think he's been such a bright spot for us early in the season. And what I know about him is he's been battling little nicks and bruises and bumps throughout, you know, his time here. And so, I'm sorry for him. I'm disappointed for him. I'm excited though for him to be able to continue to bring his wisdom and his spirit into this program every day as he recovers, because the running back room is going to need that from him. And I'm anxious for him to get healthy so that he can put on display all that he's capable of, because he's a really talented player. He's a talented person. And, we have guys that will be ready to step up. That's, you know, Rocco, who certainly had a nice outing against Stanford and room to grow there. You have Patrick Smith, who has played for us and at times shown some explosive athleticism. And then Jay Sigler will also be a part of that equation too. And so we, you know, we'll be, you know, obviously behind those guys as they look to fill the hole that Ray leaves with his injury.
Talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach. And Clark, I had not really noticed a whole lot about Rocco Griffin before that game, but boy, he really impressed me. He and Raymond were looking like a really good tandem. And as you mentioned a couple times, you guys ran the ball really successfully, and that's only going to open up things more to where I think where people are looking for a lot of production with the wide receivers and Ken Seals. But tell us about Rocco Griffin's story. What's his background?
Well, Rocco is from South Georgia. He's this is his second year at the program. Rocco was a guy who made an impression on me in the early goings when I got here, as far as his spirit, enthusiasm, work ethic. His habits are way ahead of his success on the field. Here's a guy who didn't carry the ball in the first game of the season for us, and truthfully could have made a argument for the fact that he had had a good fall camp, and he had been hurt a little bit early in fall camp, but, you know, I mean, he's just never changed. You know, he's every day the same guy. He comes to work. He loves football. He loves his teammates. And, you know, he seized opportunity against Colorado State, made some nice runs there. And when his number was called against Stanford, he was prepared. And he's prepared because, again, he's got a level of consistency in his approach that we should all strive for. And so I'm really proud of Rocco. I think he's a guy that, everyone should be pulling for and is representative of what this program, what Vanderbilt football is about. It's a guy that's tough, that battles adversity, that knows who he is, that, you know, plays for his teammates and is having success through, you know, a consistent approach.
All right, Coach, I'm going to show you my loyalty. I did stay all the way to the bitter end. And so I watched Mike Wright, you know, the game. You know, it's insignificant in some ways, but it was pretty noticeable. Mike Wright had a nice drive there at the end. You guys score a touchdown on the very last play of the game. But I know one of the things that you've said about Mike is you love his makeup. And, of course, he gives you a different look. You can't help but notice when he's running, he has the ability. He's faster than a lot of guys on the field. How tough is it to weave him in there or try to utilize what his skill set is to complement what you've got in Ken Seals?
Well, it's a challenge, but that's why we're here. We have to do a better job of getting him in the game earlier, and we can't, it's not something we can wait to do. And I think on Saturday it was a situation where we had rhythm on offense early. We kind of lost that heading into half, and then, you know, in the second half, you kept trying to reignite what you had going for you in the first half. The red zone drive that we had in the second half stalled out because of penalty. Again, we can't have that level of self-sabotage. There was some positive traction there, and we had chances to flip the field, but we through penalty or, poor coverage, we weren't able to do that. When it comes to playing two quarterbacks, it's hard to have someone, you know, watching for three quarters and then insert them into the game. I don't think that's fair to anybody. And so our challenge is getting Mike involved early so that he can get in rhythm and in sync with the game so that we can use the skills that he has to be explosive on offense. And he's earned that. I mean, you know, and Mike believes in himself and he wants to compete for that opportunity too. So that's our offensive staff's challenge, and my challenge is to find a way to introduce him early in the game so that both we can be explosive early and use his skills to benefit us early, but also so that he can be prepared as the game extends to continue being involved and help us win games.
I know it was probably a little disappointing that the offense couldn't keep it going in that second half, but on the other side, your defense that really was struggling in that first half, they did start coming up with some good stops. Was that a good sign for you that they didn't wilt? Because at one point you're thinking, boy, are they ever going to get a stop here?
Yeah, I know these guys too well to know that they're not going to wilt. I mean, I think we had to challenge them on the sideline. We had to place expectations on playing a certain style of defense. The issue goes back to how we started here is, you know, if we can't play complementary football, then we're going to be we're giving the power to our opponents, saying, you know, hopefully they're not playing well or they're not synced up, and gives us a chance to stay in the game. When we do play complementary football, we can be a really good team. And so what we need is for the defense to start fast. You know, we need more intentional pursuit. We need to swarm the football. We need to play within structure. When we do that, we've demonstrated the fact that we can make stops. And when we don't, we leave it to chance. And so it's, again, a consistency thing. It's not a – I mean, I obviously believe in those guys. I know they can do it. They're capable of it. You know, how do we pull them forward so that they're ready before we begin, and they're sustaining that level of performance through the middle of the game into the finish? And once we do that, you know, we're gonna put ourselves in really good position to finish games out.
Last thing for you, and of course, everything's going to continue to get ratcheted up as you start getting into league play here. But as a first-year head coach, I noticed there's a couple times in the game you've got these really tough calls. One thing we see a lot of is the trend is if it's a short yarded situation, you get up on the ball quick and you run a play quick, and it seems to work a lot. But there was a couple of times where you were faced with, do we run up on the ball and run the play, or do we maybe wait and see if there was a bad spot on the play before, mm-hmm. which I thought you had a case. There was one case where it was whether the guy was in the end zone or not.
In Rocco.
Yeah. So how tough is that as a coach to know, you know, when to push it and keep the tempo going, or when to say, you know what, I think we might have seen something there, and if we wait a minute, maybe the replay challenge will happen.
Well, it's the balance, right? It's like I think the more information we have on the play, the more we can make a calculated response in terms of the replay challenge. The less information we have, the more that you're trusting your team to go make the next play. And I think on that one in particular, that was a second down snap that led to a third and one that we got. I believe we ran a quarterback sneak and got stymied, and then a fourth and one that we hand the ball to Ray and he spun into the end zone for a touchdown. So again, those are things where I'm looking for information in the moment as much as I can get. But we also, you know, look, when you have 1 yard to go, for us, those are what we say here is that, you know, that's 100% conversion. So I don't want to hold back. I want to put faith in that offense to get the necessary yards to score. And me, you know, playing the game of, you know, is almost being fearful of whether or not we can score, and rather lead with the belief that we will. Obviously, if Rocco, you know, we have the information that Rocco was in and it was definitive, you know, we'd love the thought to end that series a little earlier. But for me, it's about faith and confidence in what we're going to do, and that's the place from which I need to lead.
Good stuff. And you're processing this in a real short amount of time. So, hey, thanks a lot for coming on with us as always, Coach, and good luck against the Bulldogs coming up on Saturday.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate being with you, and look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach. They've got the Georgia Bulldogs coming in. Needless to say, a big challenge for them there. As we move forward, we're going to talk to Mitch Light coming up on the other side. We'll talk some college football with him. I'm going to tell you the latest from Smashville. Now, the rookie tournament is over. The Predators won the last game. They got an overtime winner today against the Florida Panthers with a Tommy Novak OT winner. So the rookies go 1-2. The regular training camp gets going tomorrow. There are preseason games this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. The doubleheader. Remember the doubleheader? It's back. There were no preseason games last year. We got the doubleheader back this weekend. That'll be fun. But also remember that the outdoor game. Yesterday you heard me emphasize the first month of the schedule. There's 6 games in October in Smashville. Isn't that nice? But remember in February, the Outdoor Classic is coming in, the Stadium Series, if you will, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's only one way you can guarantee that you can get a seat, and that place is going to be rocking that day, and that is to become a member of the Loyal Legion, a partial or full season ticket holder. To get a hold of the Predators, it's very simple. Just go to NashvillePredators.com/tickets and say, I want to go to that Stadium Series game, and I want to get in on the Loyal Legion. So many great benefits for you. You're going to enjoy it. Once again, NashvillePredators.com/tickets. And for single game tickets, they are on sale right now, and they are exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. We'll see you in Smashville.